Welcome to Parshas Hashavua. This week, of course, we begin a new sefer in the Torah, Sefer Dvarim. It's also a parsha. It's also called Shabbos Chazoin because it's the Shabbos before Tisha B'Av, and we read the Haftorah from Yeshayahu, the vision of Yeshayahu, where it says Chazoin Yeshayahu ben Amoitz, etc., which we'll come to in a few minutes, and it's a whole new section of the Torah where Moshe Rabbeinu is preparing the Yidden to go into Eretz Yisrael. So the parsha begins with Moshe Rabbeinu speaking to the Bnei Yisrael. Rashi explains that Moshe Rabbeinu mentions a whole list of places here. Some of these places don't actually exist, but they were actually a reference to things that the Yidden had done throughout the 40 years. He was very gently rebuking them and trying to get them to reflect and learn from what happened to prepare for the future so it shouldn't repeat itself again. Then it says, Vahi Rabboim Shon in the 40th year and on the 11th month, which is Rosh Chodesh Shvat, Moshe Rabbeinu began to explain the whole Torah. The Pasuk says, Ve'ever Hayardin Be'eretz Moav, Hoyul Moshe began to explain the Torah saying, says Rashi, what does it mean, explain the Torah? B'shivim loshoin pirshalehem. That Moshe Rabbeinu said over the Torah, he repeated the Torah in 70 languages. In other words, all the other languages of the world. The obvious question is, why? Why was that necessary? Was it just because Moshe Rabbeinu saw in the future that Yidden would go into Golus, and they would have to speak other languages, and therefore wanted them to understand the Torah in all languages? That could be a possible explanation, but it seems still insufficient, because why would Moshe Rabbeinu do the 70 languages at the time? I mean, we can provide for the Jewish people when they go into different countries. Torah can be translated, it can be explained in different languages. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu have to do this now? So the Lubavitcher Rebbe has a beautiful chiddush, and he says that when Moshe Rabbeinu was translating the Torah into 70 languages at the beginning of Sefer Dvarim, he was actually bringing the kedusha, he was bringing the holiness of Torah into the Torah study of other languages. Because there might be a room to say that if the Torah was given in Lashon Kodesh, perhaps the kedusha, the holiness of Torah, is limited to Lashon Kodesh. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu actually did something very special by doing the languages, even though they didn't understand all the languages then. But Moshe Rabbeinu was actually bringing the Kedusha of Torah into the other languages. Which, by the way, first of all, halachically has tremendous ramifications. When a person learns a little bit of Torah in English, for example, without using any Hebrew words, does he have to make the bracha on the Torah? Appropriate to say words of Torah in other languages when you're not in an appropriate place, like the bathroom, or when you're naked, etc., etc.? The answer, of course, is yes. Why? Because when you talk Torah in other languages, it still has the very, very same Kedusha Satorah, the very, very same holiness of Torah. When did that happen? It happened when Moshe Rabbeinu spoke the words of Torah in other languages. And that's the reason that Moshe Rabbeinu said the Torah in 70 languages. That's one little idea. Of course, however, the great emphasis of this week is not just the parsha, but it's the Haftorah. The Haftorah is the third one of the Shlosha de Parinusa, the three rebuke, the three Haftorahs of reprimand and punishment, which we read in the 3 weeks. And here we have a very interesting thing. The reason we call it Shabbos Chazoin is because the Haftorah begins with the word Chazoin, which means vision. And over there, the reference is to the vision of Yeshayahu when he spoke to the Jewish people. And most of the Haftorah seems very harsh, quite a strong reprimand, quite a strong toichacha, giving over words of rebuke to the Jewish people, quite sad, very much predicting or alluding to the churban, to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And yet, later on in history, the famous Barditcher Virov came up with a pirush, and he said that the reason that it's called Shabbos Chazoin is because it's a Shabbos of vision. He said it is this Shabbos specifically that all the Yidden are shown a vision of the third Beis HaMikdash. And he gave a whole mushal. The mushal was that a father gave his son a very beautiful garment, and after a while the son misused it and it was torn and destroyed. He did it a second time, and that's what happened. And then the third time, the father made a beautiful beged, a beautiful garment for the son, and he didn't give it to him right away. And once in a while, he would take it out and show him and say, look what's ahead. And the same thing with Hashem, that every time the 3 weeks come, he shows us the Beis HaMikdash, Shabbos Chazoin, whether it means, obviously it means Anashama sees or whatever it means, but it means we have a connection to the third Beis HaMikdash. We are shown the Geula, we are connected to seeds of the Geula, of the redemption on the Shabbos. So here's the question. You have two Pirushim on a Pasuk, the simple Pshat and then a Drush, a deeper Pshat. And Abaditcha Rav was a great tzaddik, said something, it wasn't just like a play on words, it means it's a real thing. So how can you have two completely opposite commentaries in the same Pasuk? The one commentary, which is the simple Pshat, is referring to a vision that is devastation and destruction and harshness towards the Jewish people, alluding to the Churban, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, which is why we read this after the Shabbos. In fact, some communities, not all, but some communities have a minag to even read it in the nigun, in the tune of Eicha. And yet at the same time, in the very same pasuk, you have this pirush, this uplifting and inspiring message. That this is the Shabbos where we get shown the vision of the third Beis HaMikdash. This idea could be understood by understanding a fundamental principle, which there are so many ways to explain this, but let me just share with you one of them. There's a famous question about destroying the Beis HaMikdash. Obviously, it was Hashem who facilitated the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash through the Babylonians, through the Romans, whatever the case is, but it's Hashem allowing it to happen, which raises the famous question. We know that Hashem is bound by his own halachas. As the Gemara alludes to many, many times, that Hashem keeps his own mitzvahs. The Gemara says that he puts on tefillin. What does it say in his tefillin? Obviously, it means spiritually, he doesn't have a body, and so on, but there's the question of the Gemara, how come Moshe Rabbeinu was buried by Hashem, and Hashem is referred to as a Kohen, so how could he? All these things, which all tells us that Hashem really keeps his own mitzvahs. One of the mitzvahs in the Torah is that one is not permitted to destroy a building of holiness, because the Torah tells us that when the Eden came to Eretz Yisrael, they had to destroy the Avodah Zarah and the houses of idol worship, but it says, Lo Sasun Kein Hashem Alekechem. You're not allowed to do that to Hashem, your God. Which means, as the Chazal teach us, you're not allowed to destroy any part of the Beis HaMikdash. Also, you're not allowed to destroy any shul, any place of holiness. So the obvious question is, if that's a halacha, and that is a true halacha, then how come HaKadosh Baruch Hu could destroy the Beis HaMikdash? How could he destroy the temple? It's neged halacha, it's against the halacha. But of course, if you look into halacha, you will see that there's one exception. Soyser amanas livnois. If a person destroys a shul, for example, for the distinct purpose of building a better and stronger and nicer shul at its place, then it's okay. Why is it okay? In the meantime, he's still destroying a shul. The obvious answer is because when he destroys the shul, it's not considered destruction, it's a part of building. In other words, the destroying of the building is part of the process of rebuilding it stronger and better. The same thing with the Beis HaMikdash. Of course, when there was the Churban HaBayis, when the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, it was devastating and painful and tragic. But the only reason that Hashem destroyed it is because there's a process, there's a journey where Hashem is going to replace the first two Batei Mikdash with a third Beis HaMikdash, which will be a completely different level. And it will be a divine building, Mikdash Hashem, Toninu Yodecha, and it'll be eternal, and it'll be impossible to destroy. It's a whole new dimension of the Beis HaMikdash, which can only come about through destroying the second Beis HaMikdash, so that we should be able to do tshuva and going to Golus and so on and so forth. So the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash can be seen on two levels, the superficial level, the obvious level. The obvious level is that it's destruction and it's painful, and for that we have the 3 weeks and Tisha B'Av and the 9 days and all of the halachas that come with it. But on a deeper level, it's part of the building. It's part of the building in the Beis HaMikdash. Which is why Chazal tell us that on Tisha B'Av, Noyled Moshiach Shel Yisrael, Moshiach, so to speak, was born on Tisha B'Av. In other words, the destruction actually sowed the seeds for redemption. So you have the simple Pshat, Chazoin, which is a haftarah of devastation. And you have the Radish of his idea, Chazoin means a vision where we actually see the third Beis HaMikdash. understand that when we mourn in the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash now, we're actually not just mourning. Of course, we have to mourn and feel the pain. We often have to understand that it's all part of the building, and the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash means that the third Beis HaMikdash is on its way. And those are the two Pirushim, opposite Pirushim in the same Pasuk, because they really wanted the same thing. Have a wonderful day, and let us hope that Yehovcho Yom Eilu Lesasin HaSimcha, these days will be transformed to happiness very, very soon through the coming of Mashiach and the rebuilding of Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi. Have a good day and a good Shabbos.